The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I'm having the time of my life standing up here without the help of a crutch or a cane or a cast, or I'm just going to take advantage of my ability to move and try to say something that's worthy of your hearing. This set of gospel and scripture readings today just intrigued me, the way they seem to weave into each other and weave out and lift up ideas that I just didn't expect to find. And one of the things that happened was that I was reminded of of a song that we learned as kids, little kids, and it was called "Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen in Me." It was a long title, and that's almost all the lyrics, not quite, but I just hadn't thought of that for a long time. It's a song that came out of the Salvation Army tradition. And I had nothing to do with Salvation Army, as far as I know, but their national, international leader was General Adrian Orsolo. I think that's right. It was a name I'd never encountered anywhere. He was a great leader of the Salvation Army and got them to be very much involved in the establishment of the Federal Council of Churches at the beginning of the 20th century, so he wasn't just some oddball in a uniform. He was a person who had thought about the meaning of the Christian faith. And that's what I found myself doing, remembering that old song. My thoughts were really centered on that first verse of our gospel reading. Did you notice it that some Greeks, we don't know who, it's the only time any Greeks appear in the Gospel of John, but they come and apparently because Philip and Andrew had Greek names, they thought, well, maybe this is the way we'll get what we want. So they asked them. And the question was, what is it that you're after? Well, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. I have two granddaughters, both of whom, along with their mother, went to see Taylor Swift, and it was a big deal. I mean, this was no small occasion. And if you'd ask them why it was worth that much money and that much planning and that much waiting, why bother? They would have said, "We want to see Taylor. We don't want to just listen to recordings. We want to see her. We want to see how it happens." And apparently, there was enough about Jesus that was intriguing or curious or maybe just amazing that these Greek people, whoever they were, figured if we're ever going to see him, this is our chance. We want to see Jesus. It made me think of that story in Luke's gospel that appears in no other gospel about the chief tax collector. You know him by name, Zacchaeus. I'd never thought I'd be in church on a Sunday where Melchizedek was mentioned, but I had to bring up Zacchaeus as well. Maybe we've done the right thing teaching our children about the Christian faith if they end up knowing how to spell either of those names. Zacchaeus was kind of a corrupt official. I mean, that's how you got to be chief tax collector in those times. The Romans could tell you were willing to bend the rules and do whatever you had to get enough money to justify the paying of their tax burden. And a chief tax collector had to be rich enough to pay it out of pocket, the whole amount, to the Roman Empire, and then go about the business of hiring other just tax collectors to go out and wring whatever money they could out of everybody in sight, and in order to compensate the chief tax collector for his efforts and expense. And it was a system that was just designed to make people miserable, except the guy at the top. And that was Zacchaeus. And in Luke's telling of it, he says, "I want to see Jesus." And he does things that rich people never do, like run. That was very undignified to be someone who needed to run. That's low class. But Zacchaeus runs. And when he realizes that the crowd is so big that's gathered around Jesus that he can't see him, Luke says he climbed a sycamore tree, another thing rich people wouldn't do. He climbed a sycamore tree in order to see because he was short. You really can't tell, you've heard this, from the Greek, you can't tell whether it was Zacchaeus who was short or Jesus. And either one would have justified the effort to, if you wanted to see him, you were going to have to get up a tree to get a view. But Zacchaeus did, and he was up in that tree when Jesus came by. He got to see Jesus, and Jesus saw him and spoke to him and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I've got to eat at your house. Well, it was such an amazing moment. You know, it's not everyone who is in the right spot for Jesus to invite himself over to eat at your place. But it happened that day, and in the midst of that excitement, Zacchaeus really sees Jesus. He sees what is drawing people from far and wide to be present with Jesus. There's something magnetic and amazing about this person who is doing what no one has done before, who is hobnobbing with the down and out, because they're loved, they're known, and is hobnobbing as well with the rich and famous, because not everyone can do what this world has come to believe is the way life works. And Zacchaeus, in the presence of Jesus Christ, says, I'll tell you what. Whatever I have defrauded other people of, I'm going to repay fourfold. And I will give what I have, what I am. Because seeing Jesus is just that powerful. I think the church is being invited in the season of Lent, including the fifth Sunday, to allow ourselves to see what we think we've seen, and yet to see it in a new way, to see Jesus in a way that might actually change something about us, reorder some priority, open a new door, a new path, a new possibility. One of the things that I know about myself and can only assume that it might be true of you too is I'm old. I'm pretty much a finished product. I'm trying to get by. But I didn't come to All Saints of the Desert or to the season of Lent in hopes of changing a whole bunch of stuff about myself. And yet, there are things that really could be changed to make me what I have come to believe is possible. What we see when we see Jesus Christ is what a human being really can be. Kind, when no one even notices. Generous, when we don't even feel like we have something to give. Forgiving, even when the people that we're thinking about forgiving don't really deserve it, haven't really earned the right to our grace. And yet we come together every week as a church to be reminded not only of what Jesus said, what God has done through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only to just be reminded in some small way, although that happens, We come together as a church to confess how broken we still are, to offer our feeble bodies that often ache, to be a vehicle, a vessel, a means by which Jesus Christ might be made known here and now. And the reality is that Jesus himself, according to our reading from the book of Hebrews, had to learn obedience through what he suffered. And we can do that too. We can learn something. And in the learning, put it to practice in lives like ours, in a world like ours, where people really hurt, where people really are suffering and giving up, where people really are being lied to, oppressed, and discounted, and ignored. And because we're still willing to see Jesus Christ even in them, even though it's not easy to learn obedience, we can do it. We can. And when we do, I believe that Jesus Christ becomes visible in some wonderful way in us. People still want to see Jesus. So here's the song. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful passion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen.